Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, the account of David and Goliath. Now there's a right way and there's a wrong way to preach this text. Right now you may be thinking that the wrong way to preach this text is to make this sermon last for an hour. Well, you should know that in the early church, they would read God's word for an hour, and then they would have an hour-long sermon. My, how things have changed. Actually, the wrong way to preach this text is to make it all about David slaying his Goliath. And then with God's help, you can slay the Goliath in your life. That makes Goliath a metaphor or a symbol for all the giants, the challenges that you face in this life, such as failing grades in school if you're a student, getting along with your teenage children if you're a parent, dealing with a difficult boss if you're an employee, or overcoming a serious illness. So if you just have enough faith, like David, you can conquer all of your Goliaths. That would be the wrong way to preach this text. Because the problem is, Goliath wasn't a metaphor. He was a really big, mean, probably stinky Philistine warrior. A man who actually lived. A soldier who actually wanted to kill every Israelite that he could. But if Goliath is a metaphor for those troubles that you face, well, you're going to face Goliaths that you can't overcome. Like sin. Like the power of the devil. And if we're going to take a metaphorical approach to this text. Well, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that there is one Goliath that no one can overcome, and that Goliath is death. Good luck slaying that giant. To make this sermon about you slaying your Goliath is not to make this a Christian sermon. It would just be another pep talk, like the ones that coaches give to their players before a game. A Christian sermon is about Christ, and a gospel sermon is about what Christ has done for you, is doing for you, will do for you, and like David, how Christ works through you to bring the light of his gospel into this world. Now we know at the time of this text that David was just a mere boy. He was the youngest of eight sons of Jesse the Bethlehemite. He wasn't much older than many of you here, like Ethan and Braden. He was too young to be conscripted into Saul's army, but he was old enough that he could care for his father's flocks on his own. We also know that because of Saul's wickedness, that the Lord had already decided to take the crown from Saul and place it on the head of David. So the account of David and Goliath actually begins when David's father tells him to go to the front and take food to his brothers who are there fighting in Saul's army. So David does as his father commands. When David gets to the battlefield, though, he is rather offended by what he sees there. He sees a bunch of scared Israelite warriors who whimper and flee at the sight and sound of Goliath. Now, King Saul has promised a wonderful reward to any man who has the courage to kill Goliath. He promises him riches. He promises to this man his daughter's hand in marriage. And the best thing of all, he promises that his entire father's household will be exempt from taxes. Sounds like a pretty nice deal. But it wasn't enough to encourage a single Israelite warrior to stand against Goliath. How often are we reluctant to do the right thing in God's sight? Because we are afraid, even though the reward is eternal life. Well, when David sees this frightened Israelite army, he is offended at their cowardice. For in reality, their cowardice comes from a lack of trust in the Lord. The God of Israel is the true and living God, and their God has already delivered them from the Egyptians. They have already witnessed their God destroy the entire Egyptian chariot army, the greatest chariot army on earth. And then they've watched as God has given them victory after victory over their enemies there in the promised land. But now they're afraid of one single Philistine warrior. He's big and strong and ugly, but he's just one man. They live in fear because they trust what they see. Goliath's power and might, but not what they don't see. That the Lord fights for them. But David trusts in the Lord. He's willing to fight against this giant, even though Saul has his doubts. But by God's grace, David remembers God's grace. He tells Saul, "Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Well, Saul wants David to wear his armor, but Saul's army his armor is too big for the boy David. So the only weapon that David takes into battle is a sling and five stones. That's it. Before the battle begins, well, ancient Near Eastern warriors do what ancient Near Eastern warriors do. Today we call it trash talking. And that's what they did. The giant trash talks David, and David responds with his own trash talk. "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." But this just wasn't trash talk. It wasn't vibrato. David was certain of victory because the Lord had already given him the victory. Indeed, God had already given the people of Israel victory over their enemies. He had promised that he would do this in Exodus when he said, "And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness to the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you." So the Lord had already promised them victory over their enemies in Cana. David trusted what the Lord had promised already. But the rest of the army had failed because they didn't trust the Lord. And so David trusted. And David was victorious. David brought just five stones into that battle, but he only needed one. One that he put in his sling, and one that God directed into the forehead of the Philistine. And the giant fell down, face down. And David took the giant's own sword and slew him. At the sight of their great, valiant warrior dead, the Philistine army panics and flees. The Israelite warriors hunt them down and massacre them. God indeed gave them the victory. David was successful. Saul was not. Saul failed both as king and as commander of his troops because he didn't trust the Lord. Instead, he trusted in his own strength, in his own armor, in his own army. But if you notice, all three failed against Goliath. David didn't need Saul's armor to protect him. He had a far better armor to protect him. He had his faith in Yahweh, a faith that Paul describes as the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. David trusted God's word of promise that he would have victory over his enemies. And as long as David trusted the Lord, he was a blessed and successful king over Israel. A man after God's own heart, as God described David. But when David put his trust in what he could see, his own power and his own ways, then sin was victorious over David. We saw this happen when David was tempted by the devil into lust and pride. And his sin with Bathsheba was his undoing. After that, David was a lost soul. He had fallen from grace. But this man after God's own heart, a man whom God loved, God rescued, God restored. Indeed, God forgave him his sins as the repentant David sought the mercy of the Lord and gave us one of the most beautiful psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In repentance and forgiveness, God gave David the greatest victory of all, the victory over sin and death and the devil. You also have God's promise of victory. Victory in Christ Jesus over your enemies. Enemies you could never defeat on your own. Jesus took on far worse enemies than Goliath. Remember, Goliath was just a mere mortal. But Jesus battled everything that sin, death, and the world, the devil, could throw against him. And you can see that in our gospel reading, where Jesus took on the devil. After 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, when he was physically weak and tired, when the devil comes at us at his most fiercest, when we are physically weak and tired, Jesus held fast. He was victorious. You see, there in the wilderness, there in this world, Jesus came to be your substitute. In life and in death, Jesus came to be your substitute. He came to resist the devil. He came to live a godly life of perfection and love and holiness that God demands. The kind of life that we cannot live as sinners. So there in the wilderness, Jesus took your place as he faced the temptations of the devil and the world. There Jesus faced your temptation to rebel against God, and he was successful in resisting that temptation. There Jesus was tempted to obey the devil, just as we are. But he was successful and resisted that temptation. And there in the desert, Jesus was tempted to live for himself, to serve his own belly, just as we are. Yet he remained faithful to his heavenly Father, and he was victorious. He did that for you, not for himself. And there on the cross, Jesus was also your substitute. There he took your place, where God put on him your sins. And in his death, Jesus paid the price, canceling the debt that you owe God for sin. Yet also there on the cross, Jesus defeated the power of sin, and he defeated the power of the devil as he crushed the head of Satan. And in his resurrection, Jesus is the first fruits of your resurrection. As Jesus has defeated death in the grave, so in Christ you will defeat your greatest enemy, death. If you try to take on these great powers of death and sin and the world and the devil, you would utterly fail. Indeed, daily we do fail as the devil is successful in tempting us into sin. Just think about trying to say the Lord's Prayer just once all the way through without your mind wandering, without thinking about something else besides your Savior. But you've been baptized into Christ Jesus. which means you've been baptized into his righteousness, into his victory over sin, into his victory over the devil. And Jesus has won this victory for all people. But not all people are saved, because not all people believe. They're like Saul. We all put our trust in something, whether it's ourselves or something of this world. What unbelievers do is they put their trust in something that isn't the true God. The devil wants you to trust in things of this world, like princes and power and possessions, but not in God's word and promises. He wants you to do that so he can destroy you. For if Jesus is not your Savior, you are easy pickings for the devil, just as Saul became. And just as David almost became, except by the grace of God. But you see, you have been covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness in baptism. You have been given faith that shields you from the temptations of the devil. You have been given a trust in God's word and God's Son, and you stand before God as a righteous and justified people because of what Jesus has done. You are more than conquerors. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am certain that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." As baptized believers, you live in Christ, Christ in you, and you stand victorious. You see, it isn't you who can defeat the Goliaths in your life. There is no one who is without sin. Everyone sins. And we know this because everyone dies. But Jesus is your victor. Jesus has won the victory. He has won the victory, and he has given you that victory so that you can live with him forever and ever. But this victory isn't only for the world to come. Know this, that Jesus is your Savior and your victor today, which means that every day Jesus helps you win those battles against your sinful nature, against the world, against the devil. How does he do this? He has given you his Holy Spirit, who, through word and sacrament, battles for you, teaches you the truth, shows you your sins, helps you to overcome temptation and fear and doubt. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to examine your life against the Word of God so that you know that you are a sinner in need of God's righteousness of His Son. It is the Holy Spirit that moves you to repent. It is the Holy Spirit then that gives you trust, faith in God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you the discipline to resist the devil, and the Holy Spirit who helps you to remain in God's Word, which means that it is Christ working through his Holy Spirit that gives you the love that you need for a difficult child, the honor that you need for your parents, the respect that you need for your boss, and also the love that you need to be the light of Christ's life in this world. And like David, though he had fallen into sin, God still loved him. And like David, though we are weak in flesh and will be until we die, which means that there will be times when the devil will succeed in tempting us, know this, that Jesus still loves you, that his cross is there for you every day, that his desire is, above all, to forgive you when you repent, restore relationship with your Heavenly Father when you sin, and in the power of forgiveness, to keep you in his church, in his body, until the very end. And by the power of that same forgiveness, you're able to like David, to put a rock right between the eyes of the devil and to cut off the head that Jesus has already crushed on the cross. The Christian who repents and turns to Jesus for forgiveness is always victorious. In the name of Jesus, amen. The congregation, please stand.